you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you because the ruler of the world is coming. He has no power over me. But the world must know that I love the Father and that I do just as the Father has commanded." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we get straight into the heart of one of the most surprising paradoxes in the Gospel, one of the more difficult things to believe and to live, that just as Jesus was preparing to be massacred by the Romans, and he knew through the prophecies exactly what would occur, he was saying to his closest friends, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." Jesus was totally peaceful as he went through all that he would have to endure. Sure, it was painful, but he never lost his peace. And he wanted not only to teach us about that open secret, but to communicate that very peace to us. It came first, as we see later, that he knew clearly that this was just a passing thing, the suffering that he would endure. When he looked ahead, he wasn't looking toward that. He was looking toward the reunion with the Father. "If you love me, you'd rejoice that I'm going to the Father." That's where he had his eyes fixed. And he wanted us, similarly, to be able to have that great gift. He promised at the end that the ruler of this world who was coming had no power over him. As he told us in the Good Shepherd Discourse last week, "No one takes my life from me, I freely lay it down." He was submitting to those types of desecrations. Why? He said, so that the world would know that I love the Father and do just as he has commanded me. That love for the Father and for what the Father loves was driving him. And God the Father so loved the world that he sent his only Son so that we might not perish but have eternal life. That he does just as the Father commanded, not like a Nazi soldier to a Nazi officer, not with rebellion inside, just extrinsically, but with loving trust, total surrender, and cheerfulness, he embraced that will of the Father. And Jesus wanted us to be able to live like that. Pope Francis, a few years ago on this day, when he was focusing on these words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you," he said, "How does he give it to us?" And he answered the question by saying, "The gift of peace that Jesus bequeaths is the Holy Spirit." We see that on Easter Sunday night when he said, "Peace be with you," twice. And then he breathed on the apostles and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And Pope Francis, which is sort of unique to him, but I think it's a plausible way to look at it, recognizes that Jesus gives us peace not by giving us a thing or a state or sprinkling down like salt and pepper various graces. He gives us peace by giving us himself, his own divine presence. And when we are with him, of what do we have to be afraid? He was teaching them all of this before it happened so that when it happened, they wouldn't lose their peace. They would know it's the fulfillment, not just of the prophecies, but of Jesus' own words. And on the resurrection, they would recognize that not even torture, crucifixion, could keep people down. That God's power to raise to life was so much greater. So it inspired the early church not to be afraid of a thing. Why is there so much lack of peace today? In the middle of the world, in our hearts, even in the church and convents and religious communities and presbyterates, ultimately because we're not grounding everything on God. In the middle of the world, when we ground our things in all of the first parts of, we would say, the context of the Beatitudes, we see that we'd be robbed of peace if somebody's placing their peace in the so-called stability of money or in happiness and laughs or in fantasies and pleasures or in power or in having everybody else like us or in having our bellies filled. We're never going to have it. It can only come from God. We see this truth being lived and this peace being communicated in today's first reading. Paul and Antioch were still there in Lystra, but Jews from Antioch and Iconium, the two places where he had previously been, hunted them down there. So fuming were they at what Paul and Barnabas were bringing. And they conspired with the crowds there in Lystra in order to stone Paul and Barnabas to death. These were the same people who were willing to sacrifice oxen to them, who now, when they wouldn't stone them where they were, followed him in order to be able to finish the job. And they finished the job. Let's not be naive. St. Luke was a doctor writing this. When they dragged Paul out of the city, supposing that he was dead, that's because they could find no pulse or see any breathing. Then the Christians didn't come around and try to revive him. St. Luke didn't said they just encircled him. What were they doing? They were praying for him, that the true power of the resurrection would come into Paul's life as it had been so powerfully proclaimed by his lips. And it did. And we can see Paul here, perhaps, well, certainly with lots of bruises, perhaps with some broken bones from all the stones that had hit him and crushed him. He got up, and rather than going someplace where he could be nursed to health, courageously went back into the city so that people would be able to see exactly that they hadn't robbed his peace or his life. And then he went back, he retraced his steps to the same people who had come to him to try to murder him. He went back to Iconium and Antioch and Pisidia. He strengthened the disciples. And obviously the disciples were concerned about him. And so that's why the first words out of St. Paul's mouth, according to St. Luke, is, "It's necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." They were probably saying to him, "Get out of here. They're hunting you down. They're going to come back again. Take care of yourself," etc. All these worldly things. But Paul was filled with peace. It's necessary for us to enter hardships to enter into God's kingdom. Jesus had said that very clearly. But the fact of the hardships doesn't have to rob us of peace, provided that we recognize that we're with God. Today we have three examples of this. First, St. Pancras, who at 14 was martyred under the persecution of Diocletian. The prefect there in Rome kind of liked Pancras, loved his pluck at 14, and promised to make him very wealthy and take care of him if only he would burn incense and stop being a Christian. And Pancras just continued on perseveringly, and he was martyred. He recognized where his peace came from. He was not afraid to suffer hardships to enter the Lord's kingdom. And one of the reasons why his cult spread so quickly was that if young boys could do this, what about everybody else? He's one of the patron saints of youth for that reason, precisely to try to embolden youth. Second great witness we have today is St. Leopoldo Mandic. It's likewise his feast, one of the five great apostles of the confessional, an incredible Capuchin confessor who died in the early 1940s. And when the church in which he would hear confessions was bombed, almost everything was leveled, except his confessional was standing untouched. He, with Padre Pio, was brought by Pope Francis to the Vatican at the beginning of the Year of Mercy to invoke his intercession. And what he shows us is when we are at peace with God through the gift of mercy, we have nothing to be afraid of, including bombs. Third great witness we have today is Blessed Alvaro del Portillo, the successor of St. Jose Maria as prelate of Opus Dei. Don Alvaro suffered tremendously from various physical ailments. The amount of responsibility that St. Jose Maria gave him out of desperation was incredible, trying to build places, work with the Vatican, set everything on up. And in the midst of terrible infirmity and so much work, he just went on very placidly. Why? St. Jose Maria said it about him, because he had such an incredible awareness of God's presence, of his divine filiation, of his call to sanctity in the midst of all of those ordinary things of the day, that rather than burdens, there were opportunities for sanctification. Today, through the intercession of St. Pancras, Saints Nereus and Acheleus, St. Leopoldo Mandic, and Blessed Alvaro del Portillo, here at Mass, Jesus says to us anew, "My peace I leave you, my peace I give you." As we prepare to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, we ask him, grant us peace.